Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us. Today we are going to be hearing a pre-recording of a sermon entitled Judgment Bound, but this is the part two and the final part.
Blessed Sabbath, one and all, and to those on the phone and those listening to the recording and those that have tuned in to WLMR Radio. It's good to be in fellowship with you all once again, and I pray that God will indeed come close to each one of you today and pour you out a blessing that there will be not room enough for you to receive, but you may indeed be filled to the full. So welcome, dear ones. On this very last day of 2016 on the calendar, the very last Sabbath of this year. And got an announcement here before we move forward in our service. This next coming Sabbath, which will be January the 7th, 2017, we will be having foot washing and communion service. So please come prepared, and we're looking forward to having you part of that wonderful and sacred service in celebrating the foot washing and communion until our Lord comes again, which the signs of the time show to be very soon. So that will be next Sabbath, the 7th, the first Sabbath of 2017 on the calendar. And so we hope to see you then. Our opening song for today's service is titled, O Solemn Thought. O solemn thought, and can it be the hour of judgment now is come, which soon must fix our destiny and seal the sinner's fearful doom? Yes, it is so, the judgment hour is swiftly hastening to its close. Then will the judge in mighty power descend in vengeance on his foes. He who came down to earth to die, an offering for the sins of men, and then ascended up on high, and will ere long return again, is standing now before the ark and mercy seat and cherubim to plead his blood for saints and make the last remembrance of their sins. The solemn moment is at hand when we who have his name confessed, each in their lot must singly stand and pass the final searching test. Jesus, we hope in thee alone, in mercy now upon us look. Confess our names before the throne, and blot our sins from out our book. Oh, blessed Savior, may we feel the full importance of this hour. Inspire our hearts with holy zeal and aid us by thy Spirit's power. That we may in thy strength be strong and brave the conflict valiantly. Then on Mount Zion join the song and swell the notes of victory. And praise our Savior for earnestly and zealously doing everything that he possibly can, that we might brave the conflict valiantly in his grace and strength, hid in the secret of his pavilion, sheltered by the wings of his angels from all harm. And then be able to dwell with him forevermore, praising his name for granting us the victory. But dear ones, we live in this last solemn moment of time. Will we pass the judgment hid in Christ, or will we be condemned in the judgment apart from Christ? May we get ready. Shall we pray? Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for developing this wonderful, glorious plan of salvation, that there is a way of escape opened up for each one of humanity, and that hope of escape is only found in Jesus Christ. And thank you, Father, for sending him down to this earth to be our Savior, our Redeemer, our Sanctifier. And thank you, Savior, for manifesting your charity, your love for each one of us by giving your life and dying on the cross that we might have a chance to escape from death and to receive life. And thank you, Spirit, for manifesting your love for each one of us by convicting us of our sins, pointing us to the way of righteousness, and letting us know that the judgment is here and may be for any one of us at any time. Thank you, dear Godhead, for manifesting infinite love and for each working that we might be saved from death and be able to dwell with thee forevermore and praise your name. Father, we plead that you will continue to dwell with us, continue to pour us out a blessing of light, knowledge, comprehension, and understanding of truth, especially as it applies to our Savior and our salvation. Dear Savior, I pray that you will continue to dwell with us and to sup with us and us with you. Please come into our open hearts. Dwell there. Cleanse it. Purify it, sanctify it, and grant us a completely new heart, one that loves to do the will of God and not our own will. Renew us, dear Savior. Revive us. Let us cling to Thee as our first love and choose not to do anything that will separate us from You or cause You pain and suffering. And, dear Spirit, we also plead that Thy presence will be here to increase our understanding of truth, to enlighten our minds, and to allow us to comprehend the truth as it is in Jesus and how it applies directly to us as individuals. Father, we thank You that You're in control of all things. Please take control of our lives. Rule within us and let us walk with Thee. And thank You so much for loving us enough to make this possible. Be with all of those who are unable to attend. Be with those who are suffering in various kinds of bodily or spiritually or mentally. Be with those that are enduring sadness and grief, and please comfort them in a special way. Please help them to take their burdens to You and to trust in You in all times, even those times they don't understand why. And we thank You, dear Savior, that Your return is one day closer, and please help us to be earnest with our soul's salvation and to get ourselves ready for the judgment. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. This is part two of Judgment Bound, and it's also the last part. And last Sabbath we learned that Jesus wants to thoroughly wash all of us with the water of His words of eternal life that's found in the Scriptures. We also discovered that it is these very words of Christ that will judge us in the last day. And we are indeed living in the last days. So if we follow and live by these words of truth, then we'll be judged righteous and saved forevermore. But if we refuse to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, then we will be judged unworthy and lost for eternity. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes, you can find these at lightministries.com/SDA/ID1519.htm. If you look at quote number one from John chapter 12, verse 48, we're told, "He that rejecteth Me and receiveth not My words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Now, before anyone can be judged, we learn that they must appear in court before a judge and then undergo a trial. And in any trial, there are actually three phases of judgment: the investigative, the sentencing phase, and then the execution of the sentence. And we spent last Sabbath exploring into this first phase of the judgment, or the investigative phase. And we learned that all who have accepted Jesus at any point in their lives have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then we also amazingly discovered that each individual ever conceived has their own book in heaven, which precisely documents every aspect of their life and character. This book of theirs contains all the evidence gathered over their lifetime of choices and actions, and so it thus easily proves whether they should be saved or lost, because it's a document of their own actions. But this book also documents whether they were born in a wicked community or a good one. And it also documents what type of good or evil influences surrounded them as they grew up and formed their character. So God is very righteous and just. He even documents what influences surrounded us as we were growing up and thus led to our formation of character. Now, all of this recorded evidence from each person's own book is presented when they enter into this investigative judgment. And this judgment may take place either after they have died, or for those of us who are living in these last days, it may take place at any time during our life. It may take place later today or tomorrow or next week. Now, if it's determined that we are innocent because we have all of our sins confessed, forsaken, and washed away by the blood of Christ, and we are clothed in his righteousness, then we are declared not guilty. Our trial is then ended with an acquittal, and we are rewarded with complete freedom to live forevermore. But what if we are not found innocent during this investigative judgment? What then happens? This is what we'll be discovering today in our second and last part of this sermon on Judgment Bound. Now, after all cases have been investigated into, and all decisions rendered of all people either being saved or lost before Christ comes, then Christ returns, he raises all the dead who have been judged righteous from their graves, and then together with all the living who have been judged righteous, Christ gathers his faithful bride and people off of this wicked earth and takes them home to the wedding in heaven. And after this glorious and long-looked-for event occurs, then the second phase of the judgment can take place, or the sentencing phase for all of those judged guilty of rejecting Christ's words of life. And if you look at quote number 2, dealing with this second phase of judgment, in every trial when the guilt of the defendant has been determined, there's a date set for sentencing. And during this period of sentencing, the evidence that was produced in the trial is evaluated, and the sentence is then determined based upon the seriousness of the crimes committed. And this same exact process occurs with God, and the sentencing is based upon what was discovered in the books of each lost individual. In Revelation 20, verses 12 to 13, we're told, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works." Also from Ezekiel chapter 7 verses 8 to 9. "I will judge thee according to thy ways, and will recompense thee for all thine abominations. And mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. I will recompense thee according to thy ways, and thine abominations that are in the midst of thee. And ye shall know that I am the Lord that smiteth." Now, it is in this second phase of determining the sentence for each of the lost that the righteous saints who have been taken to heaven participate in. And they participate in this sentencing phase as kings and priests unto God. as we're told in Revelation 1:6 and Revelation 5:10. And the saints participate in this sentencing phase for each of the lost for the next 1,000 years. And they'll go over all the books of the wicked dead to determine, along with God and Christ, exactly what punishment should be meted out for each lost person. And this includes Satan and his evil angels. The saints will even determine what punishment is given to them. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 2-3, "Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? Know ye not that we shall judge angels?" Now, after this second or sentencing phase of the judgment has occurred, then the third and last phase of the judgment takes place, where the sentence determined is executed upon the lost wicked. And if you look at quote number 3, now, you can't execute any sentence upon someone who's already dead. So just as there was a resurrection to life at the second coming of Christ of all the dead who were judged righteous, so there is yet one more resurrection of the remaining dead, the resurrection of damnation, which we're told in John 5:29. The lost, or those that were judged unrighteous and were not part of the first resurrection, are resurrected from their graves at the end of the 1,000 years, as we're told in Revelation 20, verse 5. At this same time, Satan is also released for a little while, and he immediately begins again his work of deception. You can find that in Revelation 20, verses 5, and then 7-8. And in just a short time after being released, Satan has all the wicked convinced and zealously motivated to completely surround and try to capture the saints and conquer the holy city. Find that in Revelation 20, verse 9. Now, this plainly reveals that all of these wicked are selfishly determined to the bitter end in their hatred against Christ and his words of righteousness. And it didn't matter that they were in the grave for 1,000 years. They still are determined to fight against Christ. So it also plainly shows us that the character they died with is the very same character they're resurrected with. There's no change. And this also shows to us that there is no second chance at salvation after Christ comes. So then today is the day of our salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week, but today. Because there is no second chance once Christ comes. Now, it is at this time when the wicked are surrounding the saints in the city of God that the third and the last phase of judgment takes place, or the execution of the sentence. And right in the middle of carrying out their purposes to conquer the saints and capture the city of God, the wicked suffer the executive judgment determined against them in the sentencing phase. Fire comes down from God out of heaven, which completely covers the entire earth like a huge lake, and it burns up all the wicked. We're told in Revelation 20, verses 9-10. "And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Now, if you look at quote number 4, this lake of fire does not harm the holy city or any of its saintly inhabitants within, but it does completely burn up all the wicked, including Satan or Lucifer himself, as well as every one of his evil angels. And this fire consumes them until nothing remains of them but ashes. In Ezekiel 28, verses 18 to 19, we're told, "Thou," referring to Lucifer or Satan, "hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them," or the saved righteous ones in the city of God, "that behold thee. All that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more." Also in Malachi 4, verses 1 to 3. "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts." Now, if you look at quote number 5, "After all the wicked, including Satan and his evil angels, are forever burned up to ashes," then we're told in Revelation 20, verses 14 to 15, "Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So this means that all sin, including its author, Satan, as well as all sinners who followed him, will be completely destroyed from the universe. All traces of rebellion will be eternally removed, and even death and hell, or the grave itself, will be forever eliminated. So finally, God's entire universe will be cleansed from the curse of sin forever. And sin will never rise up again. In Nahum chapter 1, verses 6 and then 8 to 9. "Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. With an overrunning flood, he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time." And in Revelation 22, verse 3, we're told, "And there shall be no more curse." So praise God, dear ones, there's going to be an end of sin, and it will never curse the earth or any of God's creation forevermore. It will not rise up the second time. Praise God indeed. But with such a vivid picture of the executive judgment of the lake of fire burning up all of the wicked. Then the great question which needs to concern each one of you is, how can you save yourself from being judged unworthy and suffering such a fiery and terrible end? The answer is by making yourself ready for your own time of investigative judgment. And if you're ready, then you will have become part of Christ's true remnant church and bride on the earth. But how is this possible? How can you make yourself ready? How can you be prepared for the investigative judgment that goes over your record books? And God mercifully tells you how. If you look at quote number 6, in John 3, verse 16 and verse 36, God says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." So you must believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. We're also told in 1 John 2, verses 1 to 6. "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." So we need to take our sins to Jesus, who will forgive us these sins, and then we need to follow the Savior, to walk even as he walked, to keep God's commandments from love. We're also told in Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." In 1 Peter 4:1-2, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his life in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God." So then we need to have the mind of Christ, and we need to cease from sin by crucifying self, or suffering in the flesh, denying the flesh, so that we don't live the rest of our time on the earth to follow the desires of our flesh, but instead to follow the will of God. We're also told in Romans 6, verses 1 to 4, 6 to 8, 11 to 14, 17 to 18, and verse 22. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness, and become servants to God. Ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. So then we're no longer to live in sin, because we've been made free from it. We're no longer to yield ourselves to follow the desires of the flesh, but now to yield ourselves unto God and become instruments of righteousness to him. No longer instruments of unrighteousness unto the devil. And it's all because Jesus makes us free from sin that we're able to bear fruit unto holiness, and if we continue to do so, then we will have everlasting life. But how can we do this, dear ones? We're told in James chapter 4, verses 7 to 8 and verse 10. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. We're also told in 2 Peter 1, verses 4 to 11, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. In other words, one advancing step after another. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. So it is possible, dear ones, to never fall into sin again. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So with this knowledge, what are we to do? In Luke 9, verses 23 to 6. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. And finally in 2 Corinthians 8:11, now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. So these verses reveal to us how we might become cleansed by the washing of Christ's words. It shows us how we can get ourselves ready for our judgment. So, dear ones, please determine to follow the Lord regardless of the cost by daily bearing your cross until all sin, self, and character defects are purified from you and you are only clothed in Christ's precious robe of righteousness and thus can only reveal the perfect righteous image of Christ in you. That hope of glory. It's possible, dear ones, to never fall again, to never sin again. And how it's possible is by following the instructions step by step that is laid out by God in mercy in these verses that we read. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Because the judgment is here. And you have no time to lose, dear ones. In quote number 7, we're told from Ezekiel 18, verses 30 to 32. God says, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Why will you choose death, dear ones, instead of life? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. May we do so, dear ones. May we make a new heart and a new spirit to no longer choose to live according to the desires of the flesh, but instead to live according to the will of God. To live by every word that proceedeth out of his mouth, that we might be ready for the judgment and not caught unprepared. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That's the promise that God holds out to us. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, including those who call themselves Christians, followers of Christ, but yet continue to live in sin, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 21, verses 7 to 8. So, dear ones, Christ has given you all the instructions necessary to become cleansed with the washing of his word of life. I pray that you will allow this word of life to dwell in you richly and abundantly, that will indeed allow you to overcome all things through Christ which strengthens you, and to have God as your Father and you as his children, and thus be saved from being condemned in the judgment to have eternal life. He that hath the Son in their heart has eternal life. But they that do not have Jesus in their hearts will not see eternal life. Praise God for making it possible for us to be saved. Praise God for making it possible for us to be acquitted in the judgment and declared innocent, all through the blood, merits, and righteousness of our loving Savior. May we take the remaining moments of our probation and come ever nearer to our Savior, who is our life, and not give him up for anything that the world can offer us, which is really empty compared to the riches that God holds out for the overcomers. And this is my prayer. Our closing song is titled, Draw Me Nearer. And may this be the prayer of each one of us. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, near, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, near, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, near, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest and dwell with thee. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, near, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. And each one of us, dear ones, can come to the Savior and rest our helpless, burdened souls in his love. He will bear us up. He will take our hand and never let it go. And there's nothing that the devil or any of his agents can do to cause Christ to let our hand go. All because of his earnest, infinite love, compassion, and tender-heartedness for we, his people. Draw us nearer, dear Savior, day by day, ever closer to thee. Let our faith, hope, and trust in thee grow and increase. Let us become established in the faith, in the truth, to the point that we're so settled and fixed that we're never going to budge away from it. We found our true love, and we're never going to let him go. Let that be our faith, that we may be ready and prepared in and through our Savior for the time of our judgment, and to be able to spend eternity with our first love forevermore. What a joy and an honor and a privilege, dear ones, to be the sons and daughters of God. What a privilege it is to make our Savior happy and to allow our God and Father to sing forth because we have come back home and are never going to leave again. Praise God from whom all blessings flow for making it possible for us to be saved with him forevermore, never to depart again. shall we pray? We praise thee, O God. We extol thy name, and we plead for thee to dwell with us and rule within us according to thy perfect will. We are your children. We don't desire the wicked taskmaster that cannot grant us salvation, no matter how much we follow him. We desire you, the God of love, compassion, mercy, tenderness, righteousness, and truth. For you never lie to us. What you say is truth. We can trust you. We've seen your love manifested through Christ. We know that you are still living and that you still love us from all the blessings that you've granted to each one. Thank you, Father, for not rewarding us with death according to our evil deeds, but continuing to grant us the precious extra time to get ourselves ready and prepared to meet our Savior in the clouds, but especially to get ourselves prepared for our judgment that takes place at any time before our Savior returns. Thank you for awakening us to the time of night. Thank you for bringing to our attention the need to get prepared. Thank you for awakening us. Thank you for pouring your Spirit upon us, and thank you, Spirit, for convicting us of our sins and of righteousness and of judgment, and for empowering us to get ready. Thank you so much that we can get ready step by step, that we can be washed with the precious words of our Savior, and that we can do it now. Thank you, Father, for empowering us and drawing us away from the world back home to thee in salvation. We love you too, and please help us to love you more each day as we draw ever nearer to our Savior. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Praise God for his words of truth, dear ones.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there any testimony or songs that you would like to share? You may unmute your mic.
Away the depths of my spirit.
If there's no one to be able to share, we are going to ask our dear brother Dick to be able to sing us out by God's grace. God bless each and every one of you. May you all have a wonderful rest of your evening and also new week.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.